Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we'll be talking with the elderly retired middle school teacher, Mavis Leonard, about the film King Kong. I don't know if you have been reading. You know, there's always controversy around a film, and I think I've lived long enough to know that a lot of the controversy is manufactured artificially. In other words, the studio would like you to, like, for instance, when Minority Report came out, Spielberg tried to get some buzz going about how America was really just nothing more than the country you're living in right now is really nothing more than Nazi Germany, except they don't walk around with the swastikas on their sleeves. You know, like, in other words, we're living in hell. So he tried to get that going, and of course, nobody bought that. That was a pile, and so was his movie. And then moving along, now we got King Kong, and they're saying it's racist. Dig that. So Mavis Leonard will be talking with us. And I wanted to tell you, because we always try to alert you to cool stuff. We're on XM, and there's another show on XM. I only know this by word of mouth, but it sounds like it's fun. And the movie is, or the show, I should say, the XM show is called The Wise Guy Show, and it's hosted by Vincent Pastore. You know, the actor who is big, can I say, Big Pussy? I mean, that was the cat's name, you know? Jesus, you got to, like, stop and think. If I was on freaking Sirius, I'm just kidding. If I was on XM on one of them uncensored channels, I could have said Big Pussy and go to bed tonight and sleep very soundly and peacefully and wake up and just go, well, time for another day, and not worry about the phone ringing and having somebody go, Phil, we have a situation. Could you, we have Bob Lethgarden and Teeter Free, and they're in the New York office. Did you say, oh, God, please forgive me, did you say pussy?
Yeah, I did. I said it because...
okay, yeah.
He did. All right.
All right, we do have a situation, Phil. Can you apologize on the air tomorrow for saying the name of a man?
Sure, yeah. I'm sorry I said your name, sir. Anyway, the show is called The Wise Guy Show. It's a weekly 3-hour, quote, celebration of Italian-American culture. Yeah, okay. The show's about mafia cats, man. I mean, you know, in other words, he's got, because I was in New York, you know, last summer, and we were having dinner with a friend of ours, and he was talking about this because he'd been to the show. He said, it's a scream, man. Now, this dude that I know is a promoter, and he's also Italian-American. He lives in New York City, and it just so happens we were in an Italian restaurant at the time, and we were drinking Italian wine, and the place that we were at was at one time allegedly mobbed up. And, of course, as I'm walking in, I'm looking at every furtive glance thinking, wow, I wonder if that guy's like, and, you know, and then I began to sort of speak like this, you know, I kind of, yeah, what's good tonight, huh? I got some wonderful veal. I have some wonderful pork chops. Also, just the wonderful clams. Yeah, good, okay. You know, like Chaz Palminteri in Bronx Tale, and he's nodding and he's smiling, and then the bikers come in, and he's got to kick their asses. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You remember that? Now you can't leave. This guy, just want a cold beer. Man here says we're not dressed right. Just a beer, that's all you want? Yeah. Spoken like a gentleman. Go ahead, give him a beer. All right. He's like, now you can't leave. Anyway, this is called The Wise Guy Show. It's on, let me look here. Oh, it's on Sirius, man. It says here, Sirius Satellite Radio launches The Wise Guy Show. Why'd I say XM? Because Sirius, you people might want to know that when we enter Sirius and Vincent Pastore's name into Google, it comes up, the computer crashes. That's how stupid a question I just asked. In other words, there's nothing on this. There's nothing on the internet with those two names together. Maybe I misspelled Sirius. Ain't it spelled S-E-R-I-O-U-S? I'm kidding. I know. All right. So anyway, it's on Sirius. So XM, I give you a nice little plug. People will tune in Wednesday night, but I don't know what they're going to hear. Maybe big band music or something. Who knows? Maybe my show. Anyway, the Wise Guy Show, 3 hours. And it's a weekly show. And I believe it's on Wednesday nights. But it's just three cats sitting, or three or more guys, talking about the old days and the mob and all this stuff. And each week, he interviews prominent guests, as it says, from the Italian-American community. Boy, don't you just love the euphemism. Of course, no show about Italian-Americans would be complete without music from such notables as Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Al Martino, Jerry Vale, and other classic crooners. So they're included in the Wise Guy Show. So it's a bunch of big, fat Italian guys sitting around talking about how they, like, whacked some guy, and then they play a Jerry Vale record. How can you not want to listen to that? How could a guy not want to listen to like 10 hours of that? Another time, I hung a guy on a meat hook, you know? Yeah. Well, you don't want to do that. You know, it's a bad thing, but this is the thing all with the vigorous, you know? All right, now here's Jerry Vale. Mona Lisa. And now back to hanging guys on meat hooks. Go ahead. You were saying?
Yeah, that Jerry Vale's one of them. Anyway, what I did, took a chainsaw to one guy, you know, I was working on Buffalo Crew, you know. So we had a chain, you know, I don't want to say, you know, but this guy's mad, he's crazy. You know, Vinny the Chin, you know, Vincent the Chin, he's nuts, you know.
Right. Now Frank Sinatra. Strangers in the night. That's got to be some kind of radio, baby. So don't miss it. Vincent Pastore's The Wise Guy Show, and if I plug it enough, maybe we'll get invited up there some night when we're in New York. 1-800-449-8686, Mavis Leonard just around the corner. Time now for some email. We will have on our show tonight Galen Shaw. He's the retired Army general, talking about his hobby of photography. And, I know what I wanted to mention. This guy Woolworth is a guy that emails, you know, that Raquel in Toronto? Very nice lady. Well, anyway, I said some things that I shouldn't have said about her photographs, which she's a very beautiful girl. And then I apologized. I apologized. So some guy that listens to our show named Woolworth emails her and says, I thought his comments were out of line. Okay? Right. So I said on the air, I go, yeah, easy for you to email her and play the gallant gentleman after I apologized myself. Then all of a sudden you got religion and you say, oh, yeah, you know, by the way, I did think those comments were out of line, right? So she's digging this. So she emails him back and tells him what I said. So he emails her and ratchets it up. Now the guy's all like trying to regain his manhood a little bit. Mr. Henry has no... Now he's like impugning my integrity and my politics. This guy's bringing my politics into it. I've got no integrity. All I said, for the record, pal, wherever you are and whatever you are, all I said was this. I apologize for what I said about Raquel in Toronto. And then you emailed her and said, yeah, I thought those comments were out of line. So I said, you email her after I make my apology. If you thought they were out of line, why didn't you say so before I made my apology? And I caught you, man. Swish, 3 points. We'll be right back. Yeah. Gotcha, baby. And that's all net, babe, from the top of the freaking arc. We'll be right back. Hubie Brown will be talking with our coach at halftime. So I say... I apologize. Then you, yeah, he's a no-class slob. Well, what I'm thinking is this, and what I believe, and she agrees with me, by the way. I don't know if she agrees with me. But what I believe is this. You saw her picture on her website. She's hot, slamming, smoking hot. So now you want to, you want to have her in your cab when she flies to wherever you live. So you email her and tell her, you know, speaking of Mr. Henry, then you're on another additional 3 paragraphs about your life. And the next thing you're thinking, it's going to be free? Uh-uh. I called you out, man. I busted you 6 ways to sunset. I slammed you better than I got comb over with that fag shot that we got on our homepage. Oh, man, did we nail him with that. And not only that, then some guy sends me a picture of combs. Holding a microphone with his mouth wide open as if any second now he's going to insert it into his mouth. You guys are like, so what's my integrity got to do with it, man? Seriously, what's my integrity got? If I apologize to the lady, doesn't that show that I have integrity? Now you want to bring my politics into it. So I'm a Democrat. So I'm a Democrat who happens to believe that the war in Iraq is cool. I ain't asking anybody else to believe it. What, can't you wrap your head around that, Woolworth? Jesus, dude. Any guy that names himself after a 5 and dime must have a head like a freaking gumball machine. Dude, I think your name is Woolworth, and I think your head is a gumball machine at the exit door. I'm Phil Hendry. That's one man's opinion. We'll be right back. That's just the sound of Doug's newsroom. Apparently, he's waiting to kick my ass downstairs. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Mavis, honey, you there?
Phil, I'm right here. And I love your program.
Thank you very much. And I want to talk to you about the King Kong movie.
Every night I listen to you. I love it so much.
All right, that's all right, honey. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Very good, yeah.
All right. Can I talk to you now about the King Kong movie? That you were, you had some opinions about that, right?
Oh, I have a lot of opinion about that movie because I think that I'm very ashamed to be a black woman today because I think African-Americans are pushing a lot of white people into thinking it's ridiculous thing, you know.
All right, honey. In other words, you think that people saying King Kong is racist is stupid.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life, and I'll tell you something else. That's a lot of black nonsense.
And a lot of black nonsense?
That is correct, because this all originates with black people. And every time they get upset, they try to make white people feel guilty about it. And I am ashamed. I said that I told Harry, I'm ashamed to be a black woman today. And there's nothing wrong with Kong. And I remember it very clearly as a young girl. I was in New York City, you know.
You were in New York when that came out?
I was in New York City. I was a very, very young girl. But I remember the Kong. And let me tell you, these black people today, young black people today, are trying to make white people feel guilty.
Well, let me read to you here. It says, is King Kong racist? And it goes on to the movie reviewer David Edelstein, writing in Slate, notes the implicit racism of King Kong, the implication that Kong stands for the black man brought in chains from a dark island.
Oh, that is absolute nonsense.
All right, hold on. The notion that King Kong is a black, you know, is a metaphor, stands for a black man brought in chains from the dark island, and with a penchant for a skinny white blonde, and so on and so forth. And they say that if you enter the words King Kong and racism into Google, you get like 490,000 hits.
No, I'll tell you now, that is absolute garbage. And look, when I couldn't have been more than 4 or 5 years old, but I still remember the police cars and everything. Now they went downtown New York, you know, because the monkey got up. And my father said, you cannot go out today. Because I'd always want to go out and play on the sidewalk, you know.
Uh-huh.
My father said, you cannot go out today because they got the Kong going. And I said, what do you mean, Daddy? And he wouldn't tell me. But that's the day that King Kong, he climbed up the building, you know.
And King Kong climbed up the building in New York City in a movie?
Well, they made a movie out of it, yeah. That was a documentary. Is that what you talk about?
You telling me that King Kong went up the Empire State Building?
I'm telling you right now. Sure as God made green apple. Sure as I rolled my stockings down in the evening and had a Henry Weinhardt, hell yeah. And that son of a bitch, I'll tell you right now. Excuse my language. So.
That's all right.
But I saw the monkey go up. Have you ever heard the song, Tick-Tock, the monkey went up the clock? It comes from the Kong. They say that our little children make up a story rhyme, you know, to try it. And to try, you know, to deal with it, you know.
They made up the King Kong, the monkey went up the clock because of King Kong.
Yes, but the children were traumatized on the day that the monkey went up. And so when I hear people say that's a racist movie, I say, you know what, you should stand in my shoes and you should have been a little five-year-old girl on the day that Kong, you know, Kong went up the Empire State Building. And I still see outside of airplane everything.
Honey, with all due respect, I don't think that King Kong ever existed. I think it was just a movie.
Well, how come I did the movie? I'm telling you right now.
No, but you might have seen it in the movie.
Well, I saw it in the, yeah, I did. I saw that.
Well, that's not, it didn't happen.
Well, I'll tell you now what did happen. What did happen is all these black people are tightening my jaws and pissing me off with all their black nonsense. And you say that the Kong is racist. It's a load. And I'm very, very ashamed to be an African-American woman today.
Well, I look, it is true that there's a fair amount of guilt among white people. And they're always kind of falling all over themselves to appear as if they're magnanimous and not racist. I don't know that we're pushed into it by black people. I think a lot of it is.
Oh, no, I've seen white people. I've seen them squirm at parties. I've seen them look, try to get hip, you know, and try to see what it is, you know, and try to, slap my hand, you know, slap my hand. We used to say, give me fire and give me skin, you know, now slap my hand, you know. And they're trying to be all this and that, but they ain't none of that, you know. They're trying to be all that, but they ain't none of this.
All right, honey. King Kong.
Well, how can I tell you what. You write down a number, okay?
Yeah.
Write this number down.
Okay, let's take it off the air for a minute.
All right, you get that number?
Yeah.
You call that number up. That's Kong. That's a new Kong, the one that's in the movie now.
I'll be talking to King Kong.
That's correct, yes.
Let me call it just for fun.
Go ahead, bud, call it.
You call me a liar?
I'm not calling you a liar. I just...
But I tell you, let me talk to him again.
He's on right now.
Yes, hello. Hey, Kong, Mavis Leonard. Oh, Mavis, how you doing? I'm doing really very good, Kong. Now, you an ape, right?
Yes, I am. I'm a gorilla.
How big are you?
I'm about four stories high.
Four stories high, see?
This is a friend of yours doing a voice.
Not a friend of mine. Are you a monkey?
I am a monkey. A lot of people don't think I'm a monkey, you know, because of the Irish accent. But, no, I am a monkey, and I'm a big monk. And I go up to, I go to, in the movie, they just finished wrapping the movie, we're doing the promotional tour.
Oh, so you are on a junket right now?
Yes, I'm doing the junket. We're going to do Katie Couric tomorrow.
Okay, you come out the coast?
We're going out to Hollywood probably about a week.
You got to stop and say hello, because I haven't seen your ass. I haven't seen your baboon ass in so long.
Well, I'll be there.
Okay, Phil, there it is.
Mavis Leonard, that was King Kong. What do you got, bud?
A guy on the phone wants to talk about the bit you just did.
A guy on the phone wants to talk about the bit I just... Yes, sir, what do you want?
Yes, sir, you're on...
Sir, you're on the air.
Hey, Phil. My name is Bill Parton, and I used to be a television writer. I listened to the material you just put out there. Why did you have King Kong sound like an Irishman?
Well, do we got to take a call like this, bud, so close to after doing the bit?
It's all right, Phil. I used to write comedy.
You used to write comedy, huh? Where?
Well, I wrote for Golden Girls. I wrote for a lot of shows out there.
What's your name?
Bill Partnick.
Bill Partnick. Bill, why did I have King Kong sound like an Irishman?
Yeah.
Because at the beginning of the show, this jackass I work with named Bud Dickman said I was going to have him sound black.
Well, that would have been more effective. I didn't get the Irish thing.
I had him sound Irish so he wouldn't sound black so that Bud didn't blow the bit.
Well, I understand that this young man probably spoke out of turn, but by making King Kong sound Irish, everybody got lost. It would have been so funny if he'd sounded like, you know, an urban African-American.
You're right. It would have been fantastic. But Jack Ball here screwed everything up, so I had to change it. I wanted it to be unexpected.
When did this take place?
What?
When the young man said how you're going to make the ape sound like a black guy.
At the first hour of the show.
All right, that's about 90 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Well, you don't think the audience was hanging on your every word, like everybody heard that and go, oh, geez, there's a black voice, just like Bud predicted.
Well, no.
So in other words, what you did is you ruined that bit just because that young man, you had a personal vendetta against that young man because he spoke out of turn. I certainly agree with that. And I would have been upset as well. But you got to think of the greater good of your radio show, see.
Bill Partnick, huh?
Bill Partnick, yeah. I wrote for Golden Girl. I also wrote for The Nanny.
Yeah, okay. Well, Bill.
I just think the integrity of the bit would have been served better if you had him sound black.
All right, let me try it again, okay?
All right.
So anyway, Mavis, we're calling up King Kong right now.
All right, that'd be great.
Yeah?
Hey, Kong, it's Mavis.
Hey, how you been? I haven't talked to you a long time.
The guy's right, it is funnier.
Yeah. What's going on?
I don't know. I'm on a Phil Henry show.
You on a what?
I'm on a Phil Henry show in Los Angeles.
Yeah, you're in L.A. now, huh?
Yeah, I am. Hey, how'd the shoot go?
It went pretty good. Yo, Jack Black here, I love him. I love working with him. Naomi Watts is all right. Peter Jackson, you know, he's from New Zealand, you know.
Yeah, how's that?
No, he's all right, too. You know, everybody's good.
You coming out the coast?
We got to do a press junket. I'm going to go out and probably do Regis and I forget the name of the lady that Regis worked with. Kathy Lee?
No, he fired that whore.
Kathy something, I forget.
You coming out here to do Regis?
Yeah.
All right, I'll check it. No, her name's Kelly.
You got Kelly, yeah. We'll do Regis and Kelly. I want to do Leno.
What you go on that clown show for, man? Don't you think Letterman's funnier?
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
General Galen Shaw will be joining us in a few minutes to talk about his photography hobby and how it has gotten him in a little bit of trouble taking photographs of women. He says it's non-sexual, but it's his hobby, and he wants to continue doing it. This is Raj. Go ahead, Raj.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes, I wanted to speak with you about this report I saw at CNN about Zakari being caught. If you saw this report.
I saw a report on CNN that Al-Zakari had been caught and released, but it wasn't confirmed by the Americans.
This new story that I'm reading quotes an Iraqi security official by the name of Hussein Kamal, who has said that Zakari was in custody at some point last year, but he would not provide further detail. The U.S. could not confirm or deny. But they say this is plausible, you know. And the news came today, you know, that I had this Zakari. I want to know if you had seen this.
I had seen this. I don't doubt that it happened.
Well, this is the point of my phone call to you, sir, is to ask you. I have to laugh if I see this. You know, I have to laugh.
Why?
Because you know, how stupid can you be? And to you have this man who you know.
Well, sir.
No, please, just shut your mouth for me. I just want to finish my point.
Did you tell me to shut my mouth?
No, please, let me finish my point. You know.
Okay.
You know, I listened for I don't know how many years to say, Zakari, this is the number one terrorist. You know, this is now the new terrorist. You know, it's not Osama bin Laden, it's Zakari, you know. And I listened for this for years to hear this. Now they have this man and they let him go, you know. And I said to my, I was talking to my son, you know. I said, can you believe the pig, how stupid these pigs are, you know. And he laughed. He said, Daddy, you're so funny, you know. But
well, what is your point?
Well, sir, my point is quite clear. How stupid do you have to be to let this, you know, for this to happen? How stupid is the American people, you know, not the American people, but how stupid is America, you know, to...
What do you mean, how stupid is America? First of all, the Iraqi...
Well, the Americans train these Iraqis. The Americans will be under security. How stupid do you have to be? How stupid do you have to be?
How stupid do you have to be to what?
To have this man in custody... Okay, and do not recognize him if you have this man's identification. And there's not a credible police agency in the world that is not going to have reliable information as to identification. And these stupid idiots have this guy. You know, I don't think there's any way that America is going to succeed in Iraq if these are the kinds of stupid idiot imbecile they have. And
sir, would you please tone it down a little bit here? You're talking about American forces.
What I'm talking about, these Americans must be the dumbest bastards to say that we are going to get Zakari. And when they get Zakari, these stupid bastards let this man go. You know.
And you find that funny?
Oh, I find it so funny, yes. Look, you know, I'm sorry, I don't mean, you know, to
let me ask you something. It's the middle of a war zone.
No, hold on for a minute. I don't mean to demean you and do your country, you know, but these bastards who said they are going to go to Iraq, you know, and they're going to we're going to give a democracy to the Iraqi people, and these stupid bastards can't even catch this Zakari because the bastards are too stupid. You know,
let me ask you a question. It's the middle of a war zone, and there is all kinds of confusion. You think they got to be checking passports on every single solitary guy? And what if the guy had a dummy passport? Okay.
Oh, don't you look. It doesn't matter if it's a dummy passport. Any credible police agency in the world will have reliable identification information for any individual they're looking for. You know. So, you know, I just wonder how stupid. And what a stupid jack ass to say, this man who is cutting off people's heads, you know, and we have him, the Americans have got to be stupid bastards, and you have to admit to that. Don't you admit that Americans are stupid bastards? Don't you say that?
I'm not calling anybody a bastard. I'm not calling our troops bastards, and I don't like you doing it.
You don't like me to speak the truth?
You can speak all the truth you want, what you perceive to be the truth.
Then why don't you say, for the first time, the America is the stupidest bastards in the whole world? Oh, God. It boggles my mind, you know. And
what makes us so stupid, okay? It's the middle of a freaking war zone. There's all kinds of freaking, pardon my expression, ragheads going in and out of every police precinct. You know, excuse me, I'm getting over a cold.
You know, I'm not disrespect you. I appreciate you not disrespect me with the, you say, ragged, please.
All right, I forgive me, sir, but I'm trying to say that you got all these guys going in and out of these police precincts, you know, going in and out of every freaking military substation or checkpoint, and some guy's bound to slip through the crack.
But, oh, please, please.
You're not buying it.
No, I don't. Are you trying to tell me these Americans are so stupid that the number one terrorist that they are looking for at this time, these stupid bastards, they get their hands on him and they let him go? I would slap my child across the face if he was the kind of a stupid pig bastard. Oh, boy. You know, let me say this, Mr. Andrew.
Why are you so vitriolic? I mean...
Why am I vitriolic? Because for 3 years you speak of you're going to get terrorists. You had this guy. If my child came home with a report card from his school that reflected how stupid the bastards in Iraq are, that he is the same kind of stupid bastard, I would slap him so hard that I read in the news here that they do this face transplant.
Yeah.
I would slap my son so hard, he would have to get his face transplanted back on, because he's the dumbest bastard that ever walked, just like the dumb pig bastard that let Zakari go. And that's all I want to say.
Hold on for a minute, pal. Hold on for just a minute here. I got to take a break. Okay?
For what? You going to the bathroom? You going to cry because I shut you down?
What?
Are you going to cry because I shut you down?
I'm not
going to
go cry. You didn't shut anything down, man. You have an opinion. You're calling the Americans stupid.
Look, I shut you down three ways to sunset. Are you kidding, man? I jammed your stuff down.
Hold on. I'd slap my kid so hard he'd need a face transplant. One 800 449 8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Alright, what is your name, Raj?
Yes.
Say again what you just said to me.
I said, if I am an American soldier, and I have this man, Zakari, and this bastard, I let him go. I hope they shoot me, put me in front of the firing squad and shoot me, and never let me live again. Because you've got to be some kind of stupid, dumb. Oh, man, are you stupid. To let these people...
Let me ask you something. Do you care if we win this war on terror?
Do I care for what?
Do you care if America wins the war on terror?
I don't believe this is what this war is about. I believe it's just going to a country to, you know...
To be stupid.
Well, I mean, what are you doing? You're not doing anything, you know. And you're just blowing up everything that ever meant anything to the Iraqi people. You've destroyed their country. You have destroyed their hope for any, and then, not only have you destroyed Iraq, you sent the stupidest bastard that I have ever seen in my life outside of a three-ring Ringling Brothers circus. The dumbest bastard since the circus came to town, you know. And they're going over and they get... I mean, you don't think it's funny? You know,
I'm sitting here trying to maintain my composure as you call our soldiers stupid bastards.
But for why do you need to maintain? I'm the one who needs to maintain my composure. You're the one who's gone to the Middle East like a dumb bastard, and you jump around like a clown. Then you say, let's go to get Zakari. Well, you didn't get Zakari, did you? What the dumb bastard did is they got the card and he said, oh, hello, can I see your identification? Oh, okay. George Burns, good. Goodbye. I mean...
You don't know that happened. First of all, the guy was in the custody of the Iraqi security forces.
Iraqi security forces that were trained by America. America trained those security forces.
Okay, America trained the security forces. What are you trying to tell me?
That the Americans are so stupid, they don't know how to train these people that... I can't believe that...
All right. So far, what I'm getting from what you're saying to me, sir, is the Americans are stupid bastards.
Bingo. Give the man a cigar. Jesus. How long is it going to take?
You know, I got that message from the first minute of when you called me. I'm trying to find out what makes us so freaking stupid. The fact that...
You've got this guy who sawed off this kid's head. Did you see the kid's head come off?
Yes, sir. I watched that whole video. It was gruesome.
You saw the Nick Berg video?
Yes, I did. I watched the whole thing. Did you?
That's not the point.
No. Whoa. Did you watch it?
No, I did not watch it. I don't have to watch it. Whatever happened to, you know, I'm trying to...
Nah, you're a chicken, just like everybody else.
You think I'm chicken, huh?
You're a chicken. Big, fat chicken. Is your kid listening? If your son's listening, your daddy's a chicken. He's a big, gutless wonder.
You're the bastard! You're the bastard of...
You're a big, gutless chicken.
You bastard, go to Iraq. You the bastard.
How do you spell bastard, man? You got the word down. I mean, you pronounce it real good. I wonder if you know the first letter.
Yeah, the first letter is in B, as in what I'd like to do to your B with the... Oh, man.
You're all flustered, man. You're all in a heap, aren't you?
You're bastard. You're bastard.
That's smart. You're bastard. What is that, the name of some ice cream company? Your bastard. Fresh to you.
Go. You know what? I hope that when you die, they put your GPS in your box at a trapdoor at the bottom. So when you die, you open up trapdoor at the bottom, you check the GPS, and you go straight down to the hell.
What a jackass. Or should I say bastard? Coming up, we've got Colonel Galen Shaw, or retired General Galen Shaw. We're not going to talk to him about any stupid bastards. We're going to talk about his photography habit, how he likes to take pictures of women, even when they don't want him to. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Oh, God, I was just thinking of that Nick Berg video. Why did I bring that up? Why did I remind myself of that? Why did I remind myself and Raj of that? Oh, Lord. I remember when I watched that, I was in the office, and I had to turn it down and shut the door. I didn't want anybody to hear it, you know? And everybody I talk to, I'll say, well, you know, when I watch that, you watch that? Well, yeah, I mean, I sort of, it's my job. I'm in the media. I have all these cats with all these comments about things, man. They never even freaking saw it. Hey, I got another thing. Here's just food for thought, okay? This is what, you know, did you ever get a letter from your parents and they insert like a clipped out piece of a newspaper? You know, one of those things we don't read anymore, but your folks still do? And like, food for thought, and it'll be a Dear Abby column. This is what you're going through. Yeah, thanks, Mom. If it's so dangerous for the average Iraqi, how come there's all these cats on TV voting and smiling, and they're getting their faces photographed, and they're showing their finger, and they're smiling at the camera and stuff like that? Now, it's just, I don't know the answer, but I'm willing to venture a guess. If it's so dangerous, how come all these cats are lined up to vote, right? Well, there's not a lot of them. All right, well, let's just say there's not a lot. I think there are a lot of them, frankly. I mean, some areas it's tougher than others, but the fact is the guys that are voting, and there's women there too, people are all like, checking out the camera. Hey, how you doing, man? Showing their finger, you know. I mean, ain't they going to be seen on TV by, you know, like, Zakari and his head cutter offers? That's number one. Number two, if it's so freaking dangerous, how come all these newspapers are starting all over the place and nobody gives a crap? You know, in other words, like, they got something. Like, what did you check out, Harry? What, do they got, like, 100 different newspapers now in Iraq? Okay, if the dude is upset or scared or the average Iraqi is, like, freaked out, why would a cat open a newspaper? Isn't that, like, sure to get blown to bits? I mean, there's 100 papers. They got a bunch of radio stations now. They got dudes on TV going, hey, yeah, I voted. Yo-ho, whoa, yo. Hey, margaritas, huh? Hotelito this winter, baby. And they're smiling, and they ain't wearing masks. They're not, like, hiding. I mean, I don't doubt it's dangerous for our soldiers. I got that. I know it is. But they're soldiers. But the average cat over there is, like, on TV grinning from ear to ear, like that old guy I just saw. He had on that tablecloth. Instead of the sheet that they wear, this guy had the tablecloth, which is the checkered tablecloth. And he had his finger up, and he's going, yeah, so here you go, Zakari. Why don't you park that where the sun doesn't shine, right? And he had a little bit of dark stuff at the end of it, so maybe he already had. He don't care. And all those newspapers, they don't care. So here's my theory. This hell on earth that the Iraqi people, I don't doubt that it's way worse. Like, I'm not comparing it to America. Over here, it's like living in Disneyland. Over there, it must be hell. But it's got to be way freaking better. Because there's dudes on TV all grinning voting. So exactly what's, like, messed up about it? Certain parts of the country, I get that. You know, Sunni Triangle, I get that. There's little pockets. But there's guys that, you know... Now, I know they're being protected by soldiers, but they got to go home. They got to go home and live in their houses. They got 100 freaking newspapers. I don't know. Something doesn't smell right. Maybe it's me. No, I showered. Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with General Galen Shaw.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.